Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Narcissism. It's a mental disorder in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance and a deep need for admiration. And if that's not bad enough, new research out of the University of Michigan finding that it can also have negative physical implications also. To understand just how, I'm joined by Sarah Conrath, a University of Michigan psychologist who co-authored the new study published in PLOS One. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thanks for inviting me, Michael.
You know, we hear a lot about high self-esteem, which may be the most valued trait in America. How would you compare that to narcissism, which also involves a feeling of self-importance? How would you explain the difference between the two?
Well, I would agree with you that they're actually pretty similar, that narcissism is sort of high self-esteem on steroids. It's like an inflated sense of the self. So having healthy self-esteem is one thing. It's that, you know, you think you're good at something, and probably if you realistically actually are good at that, it's fine. But when you get to a certain point where you think that you're awesome, but there's no objective evidence, that's sort of bordering on narcissism.
Do people that are narcissistic, do they typically know that? Are they aware that they have that quality?
They seem to be. We're working on a scale to measure narcissism using only one item, asking them to what extent they would agree that they're narcissistic. And people who would score high on the traditional measures that we use actually also score high on this. So it suggests that they seem to be aware that they're narcissistic and they don't seem to mind admitting it.
You know, it is interesting that a mental disorder that involves feeling self-important could actually be unhealthy. And your study seemed to show that it's a problem particularly for men. So what exactly did you discover?
Well, we looked at a group of participants who we considered subclinical, not actually people with the disorder. So just people who vary in narcissism among the general population. And typically with this group of people, people who score high on personality scales of narcissism tend to actually report really positive mental health. So they're low in depression, they're happier, they're low in anxiety. So it's kind of like narcissism seems to be pretty good for themselves, although it does have negative effects on relationships. So what we wondered was whether, if we looked kind of below their skin, if there'd be some indication that maybe these supposed mental health benefits wouldn't actually be there. And we found that, in fact, males who have high narcissism look like they're having overactive stress responses, so they have very high cortisol levels.
And is that tends to be there at all times, like kind of a constant elevated level of cortisol?
Well, that's what we think based on our study, because we measured baseline cortisol, which is when they first come into the lab, and we haven't done anything to them to stress them out. So we found that without any outside stressor, they seem to come in kind of in this overactive stress state.
Almost implying that to maintain this kind of sense of self-importance, there's a certain level of maybe effort or stress involved.
That's our take, that somehow the sense of high self-regard maybe puts them on the defensive. So no matter what they're doing or who they're with, they're always kind of looking for threat in their environment. And that would, if so, that they would have high cortisol.
Now, the study found a very different thing happening with women. Why did you not find the same results when it came to women, do you think?
We actually can't really answer that with our study, but we're speculating that there seems to be something that's doubly toxic about being both narcissistic and male at the same time. And we think it has to do with the overlap between the sense of narcissism and masculine or stereotypical masculine gender roles, so that, you know, guys who have to act tough and men who also have high narcissism and big egos, that both of those groups are constantly scanning their environments for threat. And so there would be the sense of maybe being on edge a lot of times if they're both male and high in narcissism, whereas there may be some protective factors associated with being female.
I'm talking to Sarah Conrath, a University of Michigan psychologist, about her new study on the health effects of being a narcissist. When it comes to society at large, are we becoming more narcissistic? Are more of us having these kinds of qualities?
That's in research that I did for my dissertation at the University of Michigan. We actually tracked college students' narcissism scores over time and did find that they had been rising about 30% in the past 30 years. So it does seem like we are becoming more narcissistic as a society, or at least the educated members of society.
Do you view things like Facebook and Twitter, where someone can constantly focus on themselves and broadcast themselves, do you view those things as contributing to people becoming more narcissistic?
Yeah, that's a real possibility. We don't know exactly what's causing the rise in narcissism, but there are other studies showing that there's at least a relationship between people who excessively use these types of social networking tools and their narcissism. But it could just mean that narcissists actually just really like those tools. It doesn't necessarily mean that it causes narcissism.
So in terms of being narcissistic, it sounds like it's a kind of a double-edged sword, in the sense that there is a positive aspect to it, that you said it kind of prevents people from maybe feeling depressed and other types of things.
Yeah, they score pretty well on a lot of traditional measures of mental health, like depression and anxiety.
I see. I mean, it could almost insinuate that they're avoiding feeling certain ways by being narcissistic instead.
Yeah, it's. We kind of think that there might be something, some sort of defensiveness going on, and we're still thinking through our results a little bit, but I think they're very intriguing in terms of what's actually happening at the self-report level and at the actual physiological level.
And we have anti-anxiety medication, antidepressants. I've certainly never heard of any anti-narcissism pills. Is that a personality trait that you can't really change?
I've talked to some clinicians, actually, who work with people with the disorder version of it, and they say it's very, very hard to treat because, one, narcissists don't think they have a problem. They think the rest of the world has a problem, so it's very hard to even get them to seek help. And one of the ways that clinicians try to help them is to try to help them basically with their relationships, because that's one of the core problems with narcissism. But again, since it's such a core problem, it's very, very hard to get narcissists to want to connect with others.
You did distinguish between healthy and unhealthy narcissism, although the word itself does carry a negative connotation. How are these types of narcissism differentiated?
Well, in the research, we sometimes divide between the two different types, because I think you need a tiny little bit of narcissism or more healthy sort of self-esteem to get up in the morning and do what you need to do each day. So that's a little bit different. The sense of feeling that you know, the drive to get up and accomplish your goals is different than the more antisocial aspects of narcissism, which are things like trying to manipulate people and getting away with whatever you can, hurting others. So that's more of the unhealthy aspect.
Would you say, too, there is a possibility that from your study results that men are just by nature more narcissistic than women tend to be?
Well, typically, actually, researchers do find that men score higher on narcissism. But what's interesting is in this actual study, we didn't find that, and I was very surprised. There was no difference.
And I can't help but wonder, when you were studying these people, did you let them know that they had these elevated cortisol levels, and were they acknowledging that they did feel some level of stress?
Well, as part of the study, we said it was a study of personality and health, and they were told that we would measure cortisol, but we weren't able to tell them their scores, because it takes a while to actually send that to the lab and get it processed. And also, we did measure their own stress, like how stressed they said they felt, and we didn't find any association with narcissism. So there was this disconnect between the self-reported stress and their bodies sort of giving them away.
Sarah Conrath, University of Michigan psychologist with the Institute for Social Research. Sarah, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for your interest in our study.
And I'll be right back with more. But first, send me some feedback. I'd love to hear from you, good or bad. Our email address is capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. I'm Michael Cohen, and you are listening to more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.